We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Here at the Commonwealth Institute in London, the scene is set for another edition of My Music. On my left, John Amis and Frank Muir. On my right, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The opening round has something to do with, well, really straightforward identification. John, I think it's very unlikely that you'll know this particular work, charming though it is. Can you spot the composer from the odd musical fingerprint here and there?
Well, it's a bit like that number from the Planets by Holst, but I have a feeling that Holst didn't write any music for straight recorders, did he?
This is to record a quartet. It's not Holst,
it's
but
not
a great
Holst.
Friend
then I
of
bet
his.
It's Benjamin Britten.
No, a great buddy of Holst, a great friend.
It must be Vaughan Williams.
Yes, must be Vaughan Williams. It's so difficult that I really must give you the mark. Yes, Vaughan Williams, it's the finale, the jig from his Suite for Pipes.
Oh.
Played there by a recorder quartet led by David Munro. Comes from an LP called Greensleeves to a Ground. And it's the kind of music that always brings in lots of letters asking what it is. Mm. And that's what it is. Frank, for you, it's a case of identifying not the composer, but the singer.
Wenn ein Mädchen von Piräus und Liebe den Hafen, die Schiffe und das Meer. Ich lieb das Lachen der Matrosen und Küsse, die schmecken nach See, nach Salz und Tee.
Did you recognize
it? Yes, but she's... Why is she singing in German?
Ah, that's a good question, because her natural language is...
Mercuri, Greek.
Yes, yes, Melina Mercuri, singing in German for the German market. I thought it might fool you, but it didn't. Ian, people often write to me to suggest playing records at the wrong speed and asking you all to identify the singers. It's not a particularly usable idea, because as you know, if you slow a record down, everybody tends to sound like Paul Robeson. And if you speed it up, everybody sounds like Eartha Kitt. All the same, I thought I would ask you, Ian, what you can tell me about this music before it was speeded up. Mad drummer there.
Oh, yes.
What do you think that was?
Sounds sort of deep in the African jungle. Let's just sort of analyse what was there.
Yes.
I'm always fascinated in a broadcasting studio when the sound engineer runs a tape back at that sort of speed and can tell. I mean, all you're hearing is sort of. And then they stop it and they know exactly where they got to.
Yes.
I think absolutely extraordinary. Well, there were two types of drums.
Don't worry unduly, but there was drums in general.
Well, there were drums, yes, but there were sort of boom, boom.
Yes,
if you
yes.
got slow, it would have been boom, boom, boom. And then the other ones presumably would have been sort of... But what else was happening? I really wouldn't...
Well, let us hear it at proper speed.
Now put it back to fast.
Bagpipes and drums recorded at the Edinburgh Tattoo in 1970, and the name of the tune was Colonel Robertson, who I think will never forgive you, Ian, even if the rest of your compatriots do.
I think he will, because I got his drums fairly well.
Oh, you did, that's right. Dennis, who was this recording in 1927?
And when I go out at night with my old pal, we never fight about any gal, just me and my shadow, all alone and all so blue.
Who's that?
Yes.
Now, we had that record. I was trying to remember what was on the back of it, because it had a marvellous tune on the back of it called You Won't See Me If I See You With Anybody Else.
Yes.
And it was Whispering Jack Smith, who always sounded very English, although he was American. He played over here for a long time.
Very careful diction.
Yeah.
You love the way he sang, We Never Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack Smith, it was the last record he made, incidentally, before becoming billed as the Whispering Baritone.
Yeah. Mm.
Good. Let's have an operatic round. All right, Dennis?
It's all right with me. I mean, as long as Ian's got a clean sheet of paper in front of him, you can chuck any operatic question at me you like.
Right,
see?
But I'll take
the
them in...
The paper will remain clean, probably.
Take them in the usual order, though. John Amos, what begins like this? And ends like this.
Very forceful.
Yes, that's right.
Full of destiny.
Yes, very destino, yes. The overture to...
La forza del destino.
No, by Verdi.
Giuseppe Verdi.
Thank you very much, yes.
Yeah.
Frank, here's some music that dates from the period of your special interest. To be precise, 1737. Question, Frank. Try this on your own. Was that music by Handel, played by the Munich Bach Orchestra, or was it music by Bach, played by the Munich Handel Orchestra? And how can you tell?
I shouldn't think there was a Munich Handel Orchestra, was it?
Very unlikely indeed.
Yes.
Bit of a gift of a mark, I think.
Yeah. Not Bach.
Not Bach, no. Therefore, music by... Handel, yes, from Berenice, from the Munich Bach Orchestra. A cushy mark once in a while does you no harm at all, does it?
Thank you.
Ian, what piece of music is sometimes called by orchestral musicians the egg timer, and why?
The egg timer.
Egg timer, yes.
Well, an egg is, what, sort of three minutes? Yes. The minute waltz three times.
shall we play...
Dance of the Hours?
No. Shall we play you a little of it and then give you half a mark? Here's a little of it. So it's the...
Oh, yes, the overture is a Marriage of Figaro.
Mm, yes.
Does that only take 3 minutes?
Well, it takes more if you do it properly, don't
Dr. Klemperer always had his eggs hard-boiled.
Yes. It takes more, really, but you can get through it in that time. And orchestral musicians tend to call it the egg timer.
Well, you probably know the story of Fritz Busch conducting it at Glyndebourne for the first time, and the orchestra got their bows ready, and he said, "Too loud." They said, "Well, we haven't started playing it." He said, "I know, but it will be too loud."
Dennis.
Sorry.
Still opera for you. Dennis, that's the prelude to Act 3 of something. When the curtain rises, do we see, 1, Juliet's nurse, or 2, Elsa, or 3, Dido, or 4, Widow Twankey? Or
like
have you a better suggestion?
You do like to toy with me, don't
Just
you?
Just a little, yes. Tiny
well, it obviously isn't Widow Twankey, because she's in a different opera altogether. She has the aria, "Oh, girls, what a day I've had."
Oh, yes, she does. She does indeed. Yes. And trouble with the laundry. Yes.
Oh, ragazzi, che bel dia.
Yes, yes, very good.
Yes. So that left us, who was it, Juliet's nurse?
Yes, Elsa or Dido.
There's obviously nobody in an opera called Elsie.
Yes,
not Elsie. Outside Dido, known as Girton Days.
Yes. In the third act of Wagner's Lohengrin, all right, yes. You've got an operatic question, Mark. Gentlemen, all four, as you know, I live in Buckinghamshire. On the diesel train that brings me to London for these programmes, there is a two-note hooter. It plays these notes. Now, I've noticed that my train driver likes to amuse himself playing familiar tunes, or at any rate the first two notes or more of familiar tunes. So, John, given those two notes, and of course permutations on them, when my driver is in Wagnerian mood, which does he play, the Tristan Prelude or the Master Singer's Prelude?
Master Singer's.
Because it's... Yes, as opposed to Tristan, which is not the right notes. Yes, you're absolutely right. You praise the Master Singer's, you've got a mark. Frank, same two notes. Here they are.
Bogey.
No, it isn't. No. Same two notes. Can he play the opening of On Ilklamore Bartat or Daisy Bell?
On Ilklamore Bartat?
Yes, because it's...
Daisy.
Instead of... Daisy, Daisy. Mark to you.
Thank you.
Ian, my friendly neighbourhood diesel train driver, in the mood for Bizet, could he begin the overture to L'Alésienne or the Minuet?
Oh, the overture.
Because it's...
I'm going into another key.
Yeah, but no. Steady. Careful. Yes, as opposed to... And so on. Dennis, let me remind you of the notes.
Please. Right.
Could my train driver manage the opening of St. Louis Blues March or South Rampart Street Parade?
South Rampart Street Parade. Dum, 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 dum.
Yes. Dum, 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 dum. Instead of da 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 da, yes.
Yeah. Can't just have a wonderful picture of your journeys where the guard comes along and gives sheets of paper out to all the passengers. Right, this morning, Wagner.
What he often plays, unfortunately, is and then, which is not too nice. All the questions in this next round concern a composer who lived from 1854 to 1928. And a bonus mark straight away to John or Ian if they can tell me already who he was.
Sassons?
No. Any nominations, Ian? No. Right, we'll press on. John, in which opera would you find a grasshopper, a gnat, a badger, and a chorus of fox, cubs, and hens?
Ah, Leos Janáček.
Yes.
The cunning little vixen.
Cunning little vixen. That's right. So the answer is Janáček. How are you doing, Frank? Expectant as ever. Frank, where would you find a character called Frantic? Can John help?
Not a local reporter trying to spell the composer's name or something.
Frantic, F-R-A-N-T-I.
It is not such a contraction of a Czech word called František into Frantic.
Well, he's a friend of Pipik. Frantic and Pipik.
A friend of Pipik. Well, then it's probably something to do with Mr. Broček.
No.
You did say this is all Janáček.
It's in the same opera, The Cunning Little Vixen.
Oh, right.
It's in The Cunning Little Vixen.
Yeah, thank you, yeah. Ian, here's a moment or two from a Mass by Janáček. Ian, what did Janáček call that mass? Something...
Not bad, I suppose. But a very modest man, you know.
I thought you might know the... His title is... Old Slavonic, it is. It's, you don't know the name.
No.
You? It's his John. His...
Slap that bass, keep it glagolitic. Yeah,
glagolitic. It's the glagolitic mass.
What does glagolitic
from.
Mean?
It's, well, it's the old Slavonic setting of the Latin text of the mass.
Yes.
It's a sort of an adjective.
I think that's something I'd have been unlikely to know.
Well, really. I thought you'd know the name, Glagolitic Mass, not to worry.
I'll remember it now.
Yeah, yes, you will.
Ask it me again next week.
Dennis, going back to the Glyndebourne production, the Cunning Little Vixen was produced at Glyndebourne by Jonathan Miller. Going back to the Glyndebourne production, written on the front page, Dennis, of the conductor's score is the single word rattle. How do you explain that?
You want an explanation,
yes,
of why rattle...
The word rattle appears on the front cover of the conductor's score.
The conductor was travelling on this diesel train to Glyndebourne.
All right.
And he was doing a crossword puzzle, and the clue was, shake something, roll. And this conductor would know as much about that kind of tune as I know about Janáček. So, of course, he couldn't fill it, but Dr. Jonathan Miller, yes, who knows everything about everything.
You just ask him.
Wrote the word rattle on this score to tell him the word he'd missed out.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Ian, did I see you writing?
Did yes. you write? Oh, sorry. I beg your pardon. I had no idea. The conductor was Junior Rattle.
Junior?
Simon
Rattle.
You're
yes.
so right.
That, of course, is
I really must do something about my
You really
handwriting.
Must.
Everybody else seems to be able to read my handwriting.
No.
But,
yes.
Well, the correct answer, I've given Dennis a mark, but the correct answer is, of course, that the conductor was Simon Rattle, and he presumably wrote his name on the front page of the score.
Well, would somebody pinch it, then? I mean, unless he...
Well, you never know. You never know.
All right.
They steal everything at Glyndebourne, you know. There was one time when somebody actually stole one of the Venetian blinds. And somebody said that was another blind gone.
Oh. Oh, very nice. Blind gone, yes. Let's move on. The man generally credited with the invention of scat singing was Louis Armstrong. But there was scat singing, what I call scat singing anyway, long before Louis Armstrong. Let's see if you can identify various nonsense lines and syllables. Very brief ones, really. John, hee-haw. What does that come from?
Hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Da-lum-ba-lum-ba-lum-da-la. Hee-haw. Hee-haw. Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, that's clever. The Mendelssohn.
Yeah.
But whatever it is. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about a sung hee-haw. If you want any more, you can sing it yourself.
Hee-haw, Marjorie Dawn.
It is a minor character in Mr. Brochek's excursion to the moon by Leos Janáček.
And I said to you, if you want any more, you can sing it yourself. I was giving you an obvious cue.
Hee-haw. Oliver Cromwell, buried and dead.
Well, you got to it in the end. It's Britain's Oliver Cromwell. Yes, it was from that I had in mind. Well, Mark, to you.
Thank you, sir.
Rifle, Frank?
Rifle. Tiddly-ly-eifle. As I was going to Strawberry Fair.
Rifle. Tolly Riddle Idol, actually, yes. That's very early.
Very likely.
Very early scat singing. Ian, tan tan ta-ra. A scat singing, isn't it?
Bow, you lower middle classes, or I never remember it's upper middle classes or lower middle classes. It's from my Lanthi.
Yes, I think it's early scat singing, isn't it? Ten, ten, ta-ra. Dennis, your turn. Putty, putty. What's that from?
Putty.
No, putti. Putty, putty, with a stress on the last syllable.
You're not thinking of cement mixer.
Yes.
Putty-putty.
Yeah, putty-putty, yeah. All righty.
Obviously, these scatological expressions are not up your sleeve.
No, that's right.
I suppose the most effective bit of scat singing ever in a song was Lullibolero.
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 Oh, yes. Very
early. Powerful.
Early scat singing, yes.
Mr. Purcell's new Irish tune, sometimes called. Mm.
It's had a lot to do with the history of the BBC World Service, apart from anything else. Mm. Quick answers now. Answers found in the words of songs. No singing, though, or you won't pay a half-mock penalty. John, who believed in a short life and a gay one? Name of the character.
Cully.
Cully. Out loud.
Cully.
Cully, yes. Cully in the Arcadians. Cheer up, Cully, you'll soon be dead. Short life and a gay one.
I've got a motto.
That's right. Says he carefully not singing. That's right. Frank, his concertina was famous throughout the Italian peninsula. Who was he?
Papa Piccolino.
Well done. Yes. Papa Piccolino. Ian, who handled all the trouble on the English country scene?
I haven't the slightest idea. Yeah. Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, riding through the glen.
Robin Hood.
My old friend Dick James, who sang on the original recording of Robin Hood, told me he was recording this thing with a bunch of American producers all around him, and they kept saying, no, you got it wrong. Robin Hood. And he finally had to sing, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. It was the greatest archers in Robin Hood who handled all the trouble on the English country scene in the lyric. Dennis, what do the Choctaws, Chickasaws, Chattahoochees, Chippewas, Chichimecs, Cherokees, Chapultepecs, and Chattanoogas, among others, do?
Smoke that peace pipe, bury that tomahawk.
They don't like smoke, no. They
Pass that peace pipe.
They left some of the alliteration out.
Yeah.
Pass that peace pipe and bury the hatchet like the Choctaws, Chickasaws, most of them. Do. Right. Here on this stage, I've worked it out that our combined ages total something over 2¼ centuries.
So well, you must be old then.
So it seems only appropriate that our panellists should sing about youth in this final round. John, lovely Donald Swan song, your great buddy, mm-hmm. The Youth of the Heart.
Yes. When I was a young man, I hadn't a penny. When shall we marry, my Molly would say. But I was a wise man and said to my darling, love that is true love will not fade away. Oh, the youth of the heart and the dew in the morning. You wake and they've left you without any. You young lovers all ready to marry, remember my story and mind what I say. I was a wise man and now I am sorry. The wisdom of winter is madness in May. Oh, the youth of the heart and the dew in the morning. You wake and they've left you without any warning.
Frank, I've been looking for a song called When You and I Were Getting On for 60 and Life and Love Were New, but I haven't managed to find it. 17,
you
perhaps.
When I was 74. Yeah. How about that? Have you got one of those on the piano?
It'll be too low for you. Try that.
That.
Right.
On thine own head be it, then,
Right.
When you and I were 17, and life and love were new. Our world was then just fields of green, neath smiling skies of blue. That golden spring, when I was king, and you, my wonderful queen. Do you recall when love was all and we were 17?
Charmant, yes. Dennis, what happened in the little red schoolhouse?
Oh, that. Golly. I bet there's not one person in 100 out there. Does anybody know that song? In my little red school.
Little red schoolhouse.
Good. You went
on your own.
I went on a matter of tune, yeah. In my little red schoolhouse, with my book and slate. In my little red schoolhouse, where I was always late. Way back there, where I was a scholar in the days of yore. Where I used to sit back and holler, 2 and 2 make 4, when I ought to be learning about the golden rule. My little heart was yearning for the swimming pool. I could hardly wait for the 4 o'clock bell. When it went, I ran like, oh gee, I wanna be in my little red schoolhouse. Something.
It's a
By golly, we got through some key changes
yes,
there.
We did, yeah. The funny thing is it ends with a stress in the different line. In the little red schoolhouse.
Oh, is it?
Very odd, that, isn't it? Yes.
Most can anyone follow that?
Well, I think you may have to.
Safely, I would think.
I understand that you know of two bright eyes, Ian.
Yes. Always remember, Ian, that Dennis precedes the Lord Mayor's show.
That's lovely, atmospheric.
That's the key.
I know of two bright eyes watching for me. I know of two white arms waiting for me. I know of cheeks that burn to greet me on my return. Oh, Myra, I soon will come to thee.
I know of two bright eyes. I'm afraid it's time for us to go now, but I'm thinking of another song title. It's getting to be a habit with them, because the winners this week by half a mark are John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.